My name is LD. I'm one of the associate pastors here at As One Community Church. So I definitely blessed to give you the word today. So let's get into it. Now, my title is Chasing Freedom. Now, I promise you, I did not know. I didn't even think about July 4th and, you know, freedom and all that, playing on that kind of thing. So it's funny how God works those things out. But I think it's a great thing. You know, you think about, you know, whatever independence of the USA, but the true dependence or independence we have in Christ. So chasing freedom. I want to start the introduction like this. Are we experiencing the freedom of being a new creation? Are we experiencing the freedom of being a new creation? So 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is where we are as Christians. Apostle Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So one of the greatest freedoms we can embrace is to not allow other people's thinking to dictate who and what God called us to do. Because people have perceptions of you that make them comfortable instead of embracing who you really are and are going to be. And if they did that, it might change the way of their thinking and how they limit you and open them up to a whole new belief system. Because I want you to think about, when I get into this message, this is Jesus. 1 John 3:2 says this, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So I'm changing. As a new creation, I'm changing. And I see myself growing, which is a positive image of yourself. This is not positive self, whatever. This is what God wants us to say. We are children of God now. And because I'm a new creation, I'm growing in his grace. So God saw the children of Israel as free, right? Pharaoh, you remember your Bible? Pharaoh saw them as slaves. Redemption was about the people seeing themselves as freed by God, not bound slaves. Now, this is gospel. They had to believe God. They were free first from God, right? Not to convince Pharaoh at all, because he never wanted to change the Israelites at all. He never wanted to change them. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Romans 6:17 and 18 says this, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, now we're new, having become slaves of righteousness. So unless we see ourselves as free from bondage through the victory of Christ, and that's seeking and fighting to obey him, right? We too see ourselves as slaves while God calls us free in Christ. Now here's an example of a slave mentality. I'm defined by my insecurities, so I'm bound by what I can't do or what I did wrong. Instead of seeing yourself free, effective in spite of all those insecurities I have, being set free, what I can do, and God can still use me, even though I made mistakes. That's a freedom type thought that I'm progressing. So when we taste freedom in Christ, we now stand and fight to keep that freedom. Because I know what it's like to suffer in bondage. We all know that. In my past, riddled with insecurities and doubts because I had no deliverer. I had no Christ. So there was no way out. That's bondage. No way out. I am chained to these sins, these issues. And Christ comes to set us free. Now remember, the children of Israel were running from the chariots of Pharaoh. Remember that? And they're running to the Red Sea, and God had to drown them because he never wanted to let them go. Now, why was Pharaoh so desperate to chase them? Because it was a lucrative investment in keeping the children of Israel in bondage. Think about it. He made them make brick without straw, free labor. You guys are slaves, and you're going to stay that way. Now think about this. Some people pray off you staying bound, making them feel like you need them in order to flourish in freedom. Think about corporations fulfilled through bondage. In order to be set free, they would need to be released by Pharaoh, by the power of God. So in order for us today to be free, we need to be released by the sin. And here's the sin that we got to think about. The unbelief that I can't, or the apathy that I won't, which is pride. I won't do what Christ called me to do. And he died for that. He died for us to do what he called us to do. So here are some signs of change. Signs of change are signs of freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So walking with the Lord, we can say this, walking with the Lord is to chase freedom in Christ. It's to chase freedom in Christ. So a new creation is someone who lives to walk in that power, challenging their old ways and other people's ways towards them by fighting to walk with God. Now, Psalm 119:104 says this, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, think about it this way. We can't get help from God to change what we don't understand or won't confront. Because the Word of God, just like God came to Adam and he said, Adam, where are you? That's what the Word of God does to us. It's asking us the question, where are you right now? What are you doing? Will you confront that? And I'm going to show you understanding so you can. So as a new creation, do you recognize false ways and do you call it what it is? Or have we operated so long in being bound, we just manipulate and justify what we want to do is normal for us? That's what God calls stiff-necked and stubborn people who don't want to change. And that's what he called the children of Israel. Psalm 55:19 says this, God will give ear and humble them. He who was enthroned from of old, Selah, because they do not change and do not fear God. You fear God, you change, right? It may be slow. It's slow, yeah. There's times I get frustrated because how slow it is, but he's changing me, right? He's changing us because there is a fear there. So the closer we walk with Jesus, the more we identify with freedom and the ways of truth. When we don't, we do not change out of bondage. So the question has to be posed here. Am I really chasing freedom in Christ or am I in church? Attendance. Something religious I do because that's what I was told to do. And God wants more for that because he died for more than that, right? So freed beyond belief. We get into the text and we're going to see why I started it that way. For us to see the paradigm of how Jesus operated here amongst people who tried to redefine who he was. John 6:40-42. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, who father and mother we know? Look at that box they put him in. How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Now we see Jesus creating conflict by not only declaring what he will do, but revealing who he really is to people who know his mother and father. Trying to change their mind of how they saw him grow up and how they knew his parents. So the Jews' unbelief has kept Jesus in a box as to who he is and who he's supposed to be in relation to them. So think about if Jesus lived according to this small-mindedness, he would submit to what they knew about him, not what God knew, right? That's why the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is going to do or imagine for the who God called. I have it right here. Let me say it this way. It'd be much easier. It says, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. So people don't know who we're called to be. Even our closest people, God knows. That's just that the relationship has to be so tough or so close. Right? So for in order to Jesus to complete his mission, he didn't allow himself to be bound to other people's unbelief. See, their perception literally kept him regulated to the earth instead of being sent from heaven. And Jesus had to break that. So think of it this way. People's unbelief keeps us from doing what God called us to do because we allow the voice of unbelief to be louder than the word of God. And it's the word that gives us the courage to do his will. And the thing about it, if we submit to their unbelief, we're being selfish. Because Jesus was called by God to die. And God calls us to obey. So why? So we can bless other people. So if I neglect my mission from God, I'm being selfish because God called me not to do that. You're supposed to bless these people by what you're called to do. Because the people didn't know Jesus was sent to serve them. Right? These Jews don't know that they are trying to bound their liberator. Their unbelief not only tries to destroy Jesus' mission, in doing so, they destroy their own opportunity at salvation and freedom. That's key, because this is why it's so important for us to be courageous and stand for our own freedom in Christ, because not everyone is believing in you. And you can't let the unbelief affect or dictate your confidence to trust God. Not only for our own sake, right? Because that would just be purely selfish. But for their sake. Me doing what God called me to do really blesses you. If you're open to it. Now think about it like this. If we're a Christian, because you might say, I don't trust them because they failed before. I don't have confidence in them because they failed. But if you're a Christian and have lost confidence in a person because they failed, forgiveness lets people free and grow, right? For God forgives us in mercy for our sins so we can be free and grow. So we should free other people from our bitterness. See, that's why forgiveness is the center of the cross. Because if we're not forgiven for sins, how can we get out of bondage? If you don't forgive people for the mistakes and sins they've done against you, how can you let them out of bondage? And then how can they grow? How can you grow? So if they believed in him, Jesus, they would benefit from Jesus' relationship with the Father. But because they don't, they miss out on the experience of eternal life in him, which is relationship. And they stay bound from freedom. They didn't want to believe who he was. And they missed out on the relationship with God. So when freedom calls, are we listening? John 6, 43 and 45. Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sends me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. As is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, Jesus seems to give them relief not to worry about believing in him because it's not up to them. Right? PH explained this thoroughly last week. Preached it thoroughly and did a great job of it. That it's really not up to you to believe in God, right? That God chooses to put faith in our heart or draws us to him. So to some people, the gospel will sound like bondage, like, oh my God. While to some, it sounds like great freedom because they're chosen. Because they're chosen. It reveals that. 2 Corinthians 2, to put some word on it, 15 and 16. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. This is Apostle Paul talking about representing Christ and preaching the word. And among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to other a fragrance from life to life. Two different smells to that person. And he says something key for us to understand. Who is sufficient for these things? So we should live, minister, and bless people the best we can, but it's up to God. Because Apostle Paul says, who's sufficient to be able to handle who's supposed to get saved or not? That's up to God. My job is to walk with him, love you the best I can. At the end of the day, I don't have to manipulate and justify and do any kind of tricks for you to come to God because it's not up to me. It's up to God. Because we're not sufficient. That's all he's saying. I'm not sufficient to know who it is to be saved or not. God knows. So in verse 45, Jesus explains how this drawing from the Father happens through hearing and learning. So we can all say this. We all audibly hear, right? Unless we're deaf, of course, but we all audibly hear. But all do not hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, right? That provokes us to obey. So this is why we can hear sermon after sermon and never have faith and be changing. Just be religious and really perishing. Because Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Hearing in this context implies hearing to obey. That's what it means in the Greek. It implies I heard it to obey. It provokes me to obey. So we don't grow from hearing sermons or religiously reading the word because we have no heart to obey it. Right? If God hadn't chosen us, we can be in church all day. But if he hadn't opened our heart, we're not growing. So instead of responding to it as a call of freedom, we stay in bondage. That's why you see religious bondage. Bondage from getting released from bondage of religion and really coming to saving faith in Christ. Now guess who gives us the heart to obey? God. The heart to hear the word, the Holy Spirit, the mercy, the grace of God to hear. Which should humble us so we can't be braggadocious that we hear the word because it was just grace that gives it to us anyway. So in other words, God gives what the Bible refers to as a heart of flesh. So I'm going to teach this a little bit. That we hear the word and it is delightful. But a hard heart doesn't see it as delightful. And resist the word and the freedom Christ offers. Look at Hebrews 4:2. It says this, and it makes a distinction as to why there are some people who obey the word and some who don't. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So if some people are benefiting from the words of Christ and coming to faith, think of it this way. While others are not growing, the problem is not the food. Right? If my children are all eating and one of them is malnutrition and all the rest of them are growing, the problem is not the food. The problem is the heart of the recipient. Right? So if I'm not growing in the word, it's not so much food all the time. Like we say, I'm not getting fed. When people say that, I'm not getting fed by the word. I'm not getting fed. Well, maybe it's your heart. Well, it might be the preacher, but it may be your heart. God possibly hasn't opened their heart to hear it. So since God is doing all the work to give us a heart to obey, what causes us to neglect his word? And to be stubborn in our own ways and reject freedom? And I'm going to conclude with this. Confirming that we are a new creation. John 6, 46 through 50. It says this. Now, this is after feeding of the 5,000. Just giving you some context, okay? So when he goes into the bread of life, this is what he means. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, Jesus makes an important point here because he goes back to the wilderness when they were perishing. And God delivered them from the Red Sea, got them into the wilderness and all that and eat through Egypt. Now, Jesus contrasts what they ate in the wilderness from God in a time to sustain their physical hunger. But the food they ate at that time wasn't from seeking God. It was from complaining. They had no faith that God would provide, and God met their needs anyway. Now, here's a pause. That's love. That's why God said the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Think about it. Before we even got saved, God was providing. God gave us health to work. God gave us healthy children. All that's just grace. His goodness of God leads us to repentance. So there's never a way to brag about being a Christian and why we're righteous and holy and all that kind of stuff. God was good to us when we hated him. That's why he says, love your enemies, because I loved you, right? I loved you. So it was his goodness that provided for them, even though they were just complaining and grumbling. So Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, not just to sustain their physical hunger and need, but to go beyond the physical to the spiritual that not everybody wants. Everybody doesn't want the bread of life. So if God doesn't give us what we want physically, will we leave him? What I've been asking for, what I yearn for, what I complain about and grumble for, will I leave God if he does not give me that? So it's like some people who saw the feeding of the 5,000 miracle wanted him to make him king, right? Because he provided physical needs, bread miraculously for everybody to eat. Let's make him king. And Jesus, remember, PH explained, called them out, knowing their motives as to why they followed him. It wasn't a spiritual hunger. Like, Jesus, we'd trade you in if it was somebody else doing the same thing, right? So it wasn't him, the identity of him, which is key. So to use Jesus for provisions that are just physical. I'm not saying we don't pray for that kind of stuff. I'm saying if it's just that and we don't want to grow, we don't want Jesus at all. But what he can give, that's it. But staying with Jesus when what he offers is beyond the physical is to make him our bread. When he's telling us to do stuff that we know we need to obey, make sacrifices that we know we should be doing, that's saying to Jesus, I want you as bread, right? So when it makes me sacrifice my own understanding and comfort to follow him and to say I want freedom and life versus comfort and bondage. The children of Israel were comfortable in bondage because they got the leeks, they got the onions, all the things they asked God for. That just shows they were comfortable being a slave. And God says, I'm trying to redeem you from that so you're not comfortable in bondage, that you were thirsty spiritually for me. That's what redemption is. That's why we got to admit, if I'm not hungry for God, I'm comfortable in bondage. Which we all got something that we're comfortable with that we know God is calling us away from. A mentality, a habit, a person. So the people who wanted Jesus as a supplier of their physical needs only, they left him. And he let them go. That's love though. Jesus is the epitome of love. He let them go. Now I'm not saying just let your spouse go and your kids go. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it in a term, if you all you want is physical stuff, I'm not compromising my walk with Jesus because your thirst and hunger is small. Because he was sent to do more than just give them bread. He was sent to be life. And if I just pray for Jesus for physical stuff, I deduce him down to what he wasn't called to be. So Jesus didn't compromise and lower himself to be some spiritual Santa Claus. Their lack of thirst for spiritual things didn't redefine his passion to do what he was called to do. He moved on. And I'm not saying always physical. Maybe God calls you to do that. I don't know. But I'm saying spiritually, you can't just sit there if someone doesn't want to grow. So are you allowing people to make you settle for less than God called you to be? Or are you making yourself less than that, trying to be their God of physical needs only? Because you will never fulfill that. Because that's insatiable. It takes a real conversion experience to deny what others would settle for. That's what God separated. That's what ended up separating the people. And I'm sure next week, PH will hit on it because I think that's next. So God calls his people to be satisfied in him because that is freedom. Some stayed, some left. In that life, some people stay, some people leave. And that's who you know is with you. Right? Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. This is Abraham. He's talking about Abraham now. I want you to see this. Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Living in tents is key. For he was looking forward to the city that have foundations whose designer and builder is God. Now, Abraham couldn't settle for this world. He had to live with the reality. When God called him, he called him out of the Ur of Chaldees and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Didn't even tell him. He had to lose friends and family affirmation. Because he said, God, your life, and I'm walking after you. He moved on to God to freedom. So here's the challenge. Do you have a vision that makes God's purpose the goal? Because if you have a vision from God where he is the goal, then he must be the bread of life. Because nothing or no one else can fulfill that. Nobody. They can't satisfy that goal. That's why at times when you're sitting up there and you feel bored or whatever, sometimes the restlessness is God saying, I called you more than just this. And here's where it shows up. Have you enabled a system that tries to fulfill its hunger with temporary things while giving an eternal call from God? God says, I'm put eternity in your heart. And of course, that's filled with Christ, but he wants you to do something that reflects what he called you to do from heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, I'm calling you from that. So think about the scripture I just read. We are in a temporary life. This is a tent. We're in a tent with an eternal call, the city of God. So trying to make Jesus a provider for temporary tent needs is not to have him as Lord of life. See, many people can come along and satisfy physical desires, right? But only Christ can free us from bondage and give us freedom and life. See, this is why we feed off him and nobody else. I'm not saying you don't get blessed through relationships. I'm just saying, are you feeding off the relationships or are you feeding off of Jesus? Because they can't give you what you need. And you'll keep pulling from somebody who's bankrupt. And then you're frustrated and wondering, why can't I get what I want from you? Because I'm not God. And God says, look, freedom is in me. And we know we're chasing freedom when we can't settle for stuff. You know you're chasing freedom when you're like, it's great to have it. I enjoy it, right? But I'm not sitting on stuff and thinking that's life. It's got to be something pulling you to be like, you know what, there's got to be something more than this. And that's God pulling you to seek his face, to see, yeah, there you go. Now you need me to do what I've called you to do instead of your own talents, your own gifts. And that makes you humble as opposed to prideful, thinking you could do it yourself. And that's chasing freedom. Amen. Let's pray.